How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed? The hymn, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. In the gospel reading for this coming Sunday, Jesus talks about anxiety. Do not be anxious. Anxiety is a form of fear, and we are beset by many anxieties and fears. Jesus says we don't need to be anxious or fearful of any of those things that we fear. So why not? And does that mean that anxiety is a sin? And how does Jesus address it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, August the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fakencher. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us. She has written recently for The Blaze a column titled, Under Obama, Transgenderism is Not a Medical Condition. It's a Political Stepping Stone. We'll see what she means by that in Hour 2 of Issues, etc. Then we'll get our weekly update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Your questions and comments are welcome. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fakencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Go into church this last Sunday, and it's pretty obvious, a small, medium-sized congregation in the Midwest, that we're in the dog days of summer. It's one of those times where pastors kind of feel like, oh, my goodness, Pentecost is a little long and stretching out a little bit. But we've got something new ahead of us, don't we?
Yes, we do. And, of course, you're right. During the summertime, when the weather outside is hot and things are very much out of the routine as far as regular school year things, it can seem to be kind of a routine of its own during the summer, and that includes during the church year because, of course, the Sundays after Pentecost amount to such a very, very lengthy season. And the result, both for pastors and I think also for parishioners, can be, well, you know, is there anything exciting coming up? Have we got a festival here or there to look forward to? But the designers of the lectionary were wise in seeing that such a lengthy season should also be viewed with some subsets, shall we say, or some subdivisions, and that is indicated by the gradual each week. We've talked about this before. The gradual is the expression of the theme for the season. And for example, during the season of Advent with four Sundays, there's one gradual for the four Sundays. And likewise during Easter, one gradual throughout the season. But this lengthy Pentecost season is actually divided up into subdivisions indicated by the change in graduals. We don't have one gradual for the entire season, but we have several graduals for the subparts of the season. And today, rather this coming Sunday, I should say, we will begin another portion of the Pentecost season with a new gradual. And that does always indicate progress. It indicates that something is moving ahead that is different from the previous portions. It's not as if they turn on or turn off a light and it's a whole different concept altogether, but there are subtleties that are rather significant. And definitely this week, with the new gradual, and also, I might add, a new look at four Sundays going through the later chapters of Hebrews with the epistle lessons, indicates a significant step. During these next seven Sundays in which this gradual will be used, we'll be looking at kind of what it is for Christians to be living in those dog days when things can seem the same, the same, the same. At those times of year, and at those times in our lives, whatever time of year it is, a couple of things can happen. One is that we can begin to forget that God really is still always to be in the central place in our lives. And that is this matter of fearing that you mentioned as we came on. First of all, you know, the encouragement not to fear, as in fearing the foe, in the hymn of the day that we can talk about at the end of our time together. That kind of fear is mentioned a number of times in our propers as something we need not have, but at the same time, there's that other kind of fear. We do fear the Lord, and there is a relationship between those two, but also a really significant difference. It's possible to forget that we are to fear the Lord throughout these days, that He is still always in command, even if things go on as they seem, as they seem, as they seem, and we don't seem to be viewing God's dramatic interventions along the way. But the other thing that can happen during these dog days of sameness in our lives and also in the church here is to lose faith that God really is watching over us when we don't see those dramatic interventions. And faith is certainly going to be a huge concept in our propers this week and then during these next 7 weeks. Fear and faith in these 7 weeks, and they're very clearly focused this week, including in the new series of epistles beginning with Hebrews chapter 11. We'll talk about that quite significantly because we don't always expect the epistle lessons to be so significant in our themes at this time, the church here. This Sunday, the theme is very heavily underscored by the epistle lesson, and so we'll talk about that as well. So fear and faith are going to be big things we're looking at in these seven Sundays, particularly this Sunday, and particularly in the epistle lessons from Hebrews beginning this week as well.
Okay, let's talk about the introit.
The introit gets into this series of concepts for the entire 7 weeks, this, of course, being the first week and the introit giving us the theme for the week. There are some really significant elements here. Let me read the introit for the Sunday coming up this week, which is using the propers designated as proper 14. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. And the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. This is a very nice entree into what we've been talking about so far, because it talks about how God so wonderfully provides for those who fear Him. When we talk about God providing, we're talking about really the opposite of our own provision, providing for ourselves. And the introit makes that very clear. We can sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. We can make melody to our God on the lyre because He takes care of us in wonderful ways. He prepares rain for the earth, certainly for God's people in the Old Testament, in the days of Psalm 147, back in the Old Testament and through ancient times. Rain on the earth was absolutely critical. There was no substitute for that. There was no way to make up for a drought the way sometimes we're able to do now. So preparing rain for the earth was a huge gift of God. He makes grass grow in the hills, no small thing for people who are grazing their flocks. He gives to the beasts their food, to the young ravens that cry. And so we see that God is going to provide for us, again, as we said, even when we're not viewing these dramatic interventions by God, he's providing all the time. That's something we can count on, but not because of anything in ourselves or any other source than the Lord himself. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. We can't provide by our own strength or any other provision like a strong horse for these things that we need. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Here's the first occurrence of that word fear in our propers. And here we're talking about fearing God as people who look to him. Not here talking about being afraid of a drought or afraid of a foe. Here we're talking about holding God in the highest respect. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Looking at these two concepts of fear and faith today, it's worth kind of grasping what they really mean and also what they don't mean, because these are both concepts that can be turned around in unfortunate ways. To fear the Lord, of course, can be viewed as seeing God with great terror, being afraid of God. And there are certainly people who are very much afraid of whatever God might be out there, even some people who speak the same language we do and speak of God the way we speak of him, even speaking of Jesus Christ as someone of whom we're terribly afraid, as Luther was in his early years. Now, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about fearing. Here we're talking about holding him in the highest respect, and that's underscored nicely by the parallelism there. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. To fear the Lord is to be understood very closely tied to faith, that is, hoping in his steadfast love, believing that he loves us so much that he is going to prepare that rain for the earth, make the grass grow, provide food for the beasts, and so on. To fear the Lord is very closely tied to believing that he is the one who is going to take care of us in all of our needs. So already here in the intro, we've got a nice look at this idea of fear, but held in connection also with faith, which of course is going to cast out the other kind of fear that we'll see showing up quite frequently in the propers today.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our walk through the propers for this coming Sunday, according to the 3-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fakencher. We'll look at the collect and then that gradual that sets the theme. The Old Testament reading is God's covenant with Abraham, and all these things tie together nicely as we look forward to Sunday morning on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fakencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. One of Dr. Fakencher's former students, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, is the author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's a good question. A collection of essays by Pastor Wolfmiller. I must say, I've been reading his essays online for at least 10 years, and there's always something good in there. You enjoy him, of course, as a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. as well. Find out more about Has American Christianity Failed at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Fakencher, take us into the collect, which speaks about walking by faith and not by sight.
That's right. The things we've been talking about so far are highlighted here very nicely in the collect. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Clearly here, we're reminded that we don't exist by our own strength, as we saw in the intro. It is by your grace, the prayer says, that we live as God's people who offer acceptable service. And of course, offering acceptable service to the Lord is a matter of fearing the Lord, as we've seen before, realizing that he is the one and the only one who deserves our ultimate honor, reverence, and respect. We offer to him acceptable service, but we can only do it by what he gives us, by his grace. And so then our prayer is that we may walk by faith and not by sight. We've said in these dog days, we don't always see great drama, God's intervention, either in our lives, just going about the days of August, or even in the worship elements of our days. We're not seeing the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. We're not seeing those great events that took place during Jesus' life that are focused in the festival portion of the church year, so we can forget that if we're not seeing God always at work, that he is indeed always at work by his grace providing for us. So our prayer is that we would continue in faith, trusting in the things that God certainly is doing, even when we're not seeing them.
You mentioned the gradual before, but what would you say of it here at this point?
Yes, well, we've said it's quite significant because it does underscore the theme for now 7 Sundays. It begins this week, and here it is. You'll notice the connections to the things we've mentioned already. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We're talking here, of course, as we've said, about fearing the Lord. That first verse of the gradual comes from Psalm 34, where we often in the Old Testament see that focus on fearing the Lord. And fearing the Lord then again is recognized as being closely connected to faith. Those who fear him lack nothing. He's going to provide for everything. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That is to say, we can fear the Lord because we know he is going to care for us, deliver us from every sort of need. We lack nothing. He delivers from all of the adversities, the afflictions that we might face. So that connection, again, between fearing the Lord and faith in the Lord is very, very clear and significant here. We respect him, we honor him, and those that respect and honor him can be certain he will deliver us. But as we go on, again, we'll see, Todd, that these two concepts of fear and faith can, as I said, be turned around into unfortunate misunderstandings if we think that somehow fearing and being faithful are ultimately things that we do. If we fear enough, if we have enough faith, then we'll be delivered out of all of our afflictions. And that really is not the understanding of these very, very important concepts. That'll come out more as we look at the other propers.
The Old Testament reading is God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15.
A very significant passage cited numerous times by St. Paul in the New Testament, in Galatians, Romans, it's also cited in Hebrews, that is verse 6 of our Old Testament lesson. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And you'll notice here again the concept of fearing, and you'll notice how very focused faith is in this lesson. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. This is actually, these things refers back to a very interesting chapter, Genesis chapter 14, where God used Abram to deliver Lot from captivity, from being taken away in a raid. And then there is an interesting affirmation at the end of chapter 14 about those who are faithful to the Lord and those who are not. So after these things, great events really, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought Abram outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he, that is Abram, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. A huge verse about faith. As we've said, it's cited numerous times in the New Testament. Look back as we begin, though, as this vision that we have often pictured even in children's Bible story books, looking out at the stars and counting them, it begins with the Lord coming to Abram and saying, Fear not. Now, we've already talked about fearing the Lord, but now it's turned around. Fear not. Don't fear. Because, of course, when we talk about the fears or anxieties, Todd, that you referred to in your intro to begin the session, which we'll see in the gospel reading, there we're always talking about fearing something other than the Lord. And there is reason, if we were on our own, to be very much afraid of the great satanic foe and all kinds of other anxieties. On the other hand, when the Lord comes to us and speaks, then we can absolutely hear that word in faith, fear not. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield, and that the word shield will be repeated coming up also in our psalm in a moment. I am your shield. I'm the one who protects you from everything. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram has a really natural answer here. It was back in Genesis chapter 12 that God first told Abram, who already was a very mature man at that point, that he would be the father of many nations, and through one of his descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But now we've waited quite a few more years, and no progress, it seems, on God's promise. Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. Back in Genesis chapter 12, I didn't have any children yet. Now here in Genesis chapter 15, I still don't have any children. In fact, if I were to die today, it would be one of my servants, Eliezer of Damascus, who would inherit all that I have. And that's not what you were talking about at all. You've given me no offspring. There's no one now to carry on a line by which all the families of the earth will be blessed. We can very much picture Abram here in the same kind of situation that, again, we might envision during these dog days of summer, when liturgically and in other aspects of life, it seems that things just go on, same old, without any real dramatic change. Abram has been waiting. He's been waiting, and he just hasn't been seeing God come through on that promise. That kind of waiting in these days is a difficult time, difficult thing to do. These are the kinds of times when we can lose respect for God, forget that he's in charge of things, and lose faith in God, that he really will come through for us on his promises. But God speaks to Abram again. No, that man, Eliezer of Damascus, he shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. In fact, Abram, let's just reinforce what we said back in Genesis chapter 12. Go outside and look at all those stars in the sky. Can you count them? Well, no, of course you can't. But that gives you a picture of the great nation that will come out of you through one heir that will be born to you. There will be others, countless new generations of heirs, so many that it'll be like the stars of the heavens. That is the way your offspring will be. And then, when God comes and again speaks to Abram, reinforces that promise that he made back in Genesis chapter 12, and it still will be a good while before reaching fulfillment. Nevertheless, this wonderful verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him, to Abram, as righteousness. In the face of reason to fear, to be afraid that things will come undone, in the face of a time in which we might not fear and honor and reverence the Lord because he doesn't seem to be coming through for us, and in a time when we might have a really, really difficult challenge in believing that he really still is remembering his promises, nevertheless, God creates faith in Abram to believe this word once again. And as Paul makes very clear, the Lord counted this to Abram as righteousness. That is to say, believing that God honors his promises, that God cares for us, is the way we receive the righteousness of God himself. We realize the implications this has for our Lutheran Reformation theology. When Luther understood that God accounted his righteousness to us simply when we believed that it was given to us in Christ, that opened the door for Luther to change the world, frankly. It opened his heart to see that heaven was open before him, rather than him having to trust in his own works, in his own laboring, his own efforts, which in the intro we were reminded will always be fruitless, will never bring the results that we might hope. Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. A wonderful statement of faith that will be underscored in our epistle lesson, and then brought, I think, to a fullness in the gospel reading coming up.
When we come back from this break, we will get to the psalm before we get to the epistle. We are in a new epistle, as Dr. Fakencher pointed out. Hebrews is the order of the day for several weeks, talking about how it is by faith that men were found acceptable to God. All of it goes together with the theme for the day that we'll arrive at when we do get to that gospel reading, as we look forward to Sunday morning on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 3rd. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest.
Conservative versus radical, two extremes which offer us a window into considering the future of Lutheranism as well.
Dr. Larry Rast speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
For there is a place for the confessional witness Lutherans have to offer in the places in which we find ourselves today, but that witness will only be faithful if it conserves the insights of the Reformation. And that conservation, I believe, is needed today more than ever.
You can listen to Dr. Rath's presentation, Making the Case for the Conservative Reformation, and teachings by Chris Roseborough, Carl Fakencher, Adrian Dorr-Heinz, Brian Wolfmiller, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Stanza 3 of O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. That is the hymn of the day. Walking through the propers for this coming Sunday with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, let's keep moving through and let's talk a little bit about Psalm 33. We have some of the middle verses there as our psalm.
Yes, Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. Just a quick moment of this, but notice how, once again, the idea of fearing the Lord, and also knowing that we can trust in Him, have faith in Him to provide for all of our needs, comes out. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees all the children of man. There we picture what we saw in the Old Testament lesson, God looking at Abraham, looking from heaven to Abraham, and picturing the children that He will give to Abraham. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Now here, verse 16. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. The things that we might rely on, the things we might have faith in or trust in, other than the Lord, cannot rescue us. Behold, instead, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Notice again how fear of the Lord is connected with those who hope in His steadfast love, that He will deliver us from death, from famine. Fear of the Lord should not be understood as being afraid of God, but closely connected to believing that God, in His steadfast love, will care for us. That's the reason that we hold God in the highest reverence. That's the reason that we do not wish in any way to offend God. Verse 20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Remember how the Lord came to Abram and said, fear not, I am your shield. Our soul waits for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. We trust in the Lord's holy name. We hope in him. That's the wonderful faith that we can have, because while the king's great army, a warrior's strength, a mighty horse can't rescue us, God certainly does have his eye on all of us to deliver us from death, to keep us alive in famine, to be our shield. That's the reason that we can trust in him. Faith is always believing that God is caring for us in every way. It's not in any way something that we earn. And even faith itself is simply trusting in his work, not something on which we should focus our own attention. And that, I think, comes out really well in the epistle lesson that we've been leading up to.
That brings us into Hebrews, that epistle lesson, a new book, but we're starting kind of at the conclusion of the book, aren't we?
That's right. The next four Sundays, including this one, will have epistle lessons from Hebrews, but in these last three chapters, chapters 11, 12, and 13. So we're dropping late into the book of Hebrews, but this is a good example of how those who designed the lectionary, even though during this season of the church year we often take consecutive readings through epistle books and therefore aren't immediately always tied to the theme of the day, nevertheless look for the connections when that's appropriate. And this is very much the case. Remember how much we've been talking about faith and that wonderful verse, Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord and he counted to him as righteousness. So now our lectionary designers have given us a portion of what sometimes is called the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11. And this very much clarifies for us what faith is and what it isn't. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him, as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For the people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And Hebrews chapter 11 goes on beyond the epistle lesson with other examples. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The challenge here is to recognize, as I said, what faith is and what faith isn't. Because when we hear all of these acclamations, all of these laudatory words about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and then others as the chapter goes on, all by faith, we could get the impression that the real focus here is faith, that the real focus is to have the kind of faith that Abraham or Sarah or Noah each had, and to work really hard, and I say work really hard, to build up our faith so our faith would be like these people in the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11. But really, the text is very clear. By it, that is by faith, this is verse 2, the people of old received their commendation. Faith is not something that we generate or something that in itself is the real substance. What we're really talking about when we talk about faith is simply receiving what God has in store for us. And so it's very crucial as we read through Hebrews chapter 11 to notice how the promises of God are the real focus. And the promises are mentioned again and again in verse 9. By faith, Abram went to live in the land of promise, along with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with the same promise. Sarah herself received power, this is verse 11, to conceive, for she considered him faithful who had promised. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. The point of faith is never faith itself. The point of faith is always the object to which faith clings. Faith is nothing more than, as verse 2 said, receiving what God himself has promised. And when we receive what God has promised, we're not the actors at all. We're simply the people who are being blessed by God. So again and again and again, Hebrews chapter 11, we see the things that Jesus is going to talk about in our gospel lesson in Luke chapter 12, that we are blessed to be on the receiving end of all these things that God mentions. I will mention just one more note about the epistle lesson. That is in verse 7, that idea of reverent fear comes up again. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark. And once again, that expresses very well the close connection of fearing God to also trusting God, having faith in God. Noah constructed the ark. Certainly the seriousness of the flood that God had prophesied was real. There was respect, there was fear in the sense of realizing that God's punishment was real and God's punishment was imminent. But Noah also built the ark believing that God would deliver him in this way. So there was faith that God was going to honor his promise to protect Noah and his family. So reverent fear of God delivers us from fear of all other things because it's connected to faith that God will come through on his promises. One more lesson to look at, the gospel reading, and that brings these together, I think, very nicely.
And it sounds like the theme is also coming together. We'll also hear that theme on the other side of the break. We're looking forward to Sunday morning on this Wednesday, August the 3rd, with Dr. Carl Fikancher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The gospel reading, Jesus Telling Us Not to Be Anxious, is next. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Final stanza of the hymn, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, walking through the propers for this coming Sunday with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You can find out more about studying for the vocation of pastor or deaconess at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at their website, ctsfw.edu, or just give them a call, 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, take us into the gospel reading.
The gospel reading, Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34, again picks up these ideas of faith and fear, what they are, what they aren't, and I think puts a nice capper on the things we've been seeing. Listen to Jesus' admonitions about not fearing, not being anxious, and then as we read that, ask ourselves, why not? And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We hear those imperatives. Don't be anxious. Do not be worried. Fear not. All of those are imperatives. All of those are words telling us what to do or not to do. And so we really could see those, hear those as instructions that where we're supposed to suck it up and do what we're told. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. And we know how hard that is, because there are many things in this world that are very important to us, very, very serious. And sometimes, especially in these dog days when we're not seeing God intervening in dramatic ways day after day, we wonder if he's really still in control. Well, why not fear? Why not be anxious? Is it simply because these things don't matter? Because, of course, your life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. And it is true that the nations, the Gentiles of the world, seek after all these things. Is Jesus saying, just don't worry about food and clothing and those things because they're not important? Well, that also would be a rather unsatisfactory answer. Because, of course, we know that without some basics, we're not going to live, and God has in store for us to live at least for a time here on this earth. So no, these really aren't the reasons not to be anxious, not to worry, not to fear. It really isn't just a matter of these imperatives, things that we're to do. Just like in the Old Testament, it's not believe like Abraham did, or the epistle lesson, have faith like Noah did, like Abel did, like Enoch did. No. It's always because God knows everything that we need, and he promises to provide. The verse of the day comes from also this gospel reading, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Why fear not? Why not be anxious? Why not worry? Because the Father will add all of these things to you. It is his good pleasure to care for you in terms of food and clothing, and the days of our lives, and all the things that really are very important. God doesn't minimize the importance of these things. Rather, God provides for these things. So faith is not a matter of us gathering together our confidence, overcoming the natural anxieties and fears that are a part of a life in a fallen world. No. Faith is knowing that God takes care of all of these things and simply being on the receiving end. As we saw from the epistle lesson, faith is the way that people receive the commendation of God's promises, all the promises that he gives. And here in the gospel reading, he amplifies those promises in very day-to-day, ordinary, clear, tangible ways. What we need to live, to eat, to drink, to wear, all those things in life, God is delighted to give to us. His promises include caring for us in all of those ways. We saw in the Old Testament lesson that Abram believed God and he counted him as righteousness. And of course, we know very well that that means those who believe that God in Christ Jesus, by Jesus' death and resurrection, has given us eternal life, that we, by faith, have eternal life. But it's also true that the God who gives us eternal life will also add all these other things according to his knowledge, his perfect love, his wisdom as to what really is proper, good, and wholesome for us. So faith is simply receiving the promises that God gives. And that is a wonderful way for us to live from day to day to day. That brings me to my theme. And I think it brings all of these elements together. We've talked about fear, we've talked about faith, and the relationship between them. We've talked about how fear is something we have for God, holding him in highest esteem and honor, recognizing that his judgment upon us is righteous, but also in faith, believing that he commends us rather than punishes us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, which means then that we have nothing to fear besides God himself. My theme then is this: fear not, but receive by faith God's promise to provide your every need. Fear not, because when God is with us, who can be against us? There's nothing we need fear, even the satanic foe. Certainly also starvation, hunger, privation that the gospel reading addresses, these are things we need not fear. But we don't want to turn faith around and make it into something that we must muster up for ourselves either, but rather receive by faith God's promise. In faith, we're simply recognizing that God is merciful, that God is generous, that God provides for us, And what does he provide? Well, really, every need. Eternal life in heaven by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but by the same death and resurrection of Jesus Christ reconciling us to God, he also provides for us food and clothing and all the things that he knows in his perfect wisdom to be real and true needs for us.
We have about 30 seconds. Your thoughts on that hymn of the day we've been hearing, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe.
It's a great hymn. It again reminds us that we really have nothing to fear, even the satanic foe, because God is with us and lifts us up and delivers us so that his Gideon arises to uphold us, to deliver us from Satan. And, you know, one quick little note, this is hymn number 666, which, of course, is one of those magic numbers people often fear. In our previous hymnals, there was no hymn as high in numbers 666. So I have this on the authority of Dr. Grimm. When the hymnal committee put this together, they said, we're going to have a number 666, and lest anyone should be afraid of the devil and the Antichrist represented there, we're going to make this a hymn that looks the Antichrist and Satan himself right in the eyeballs and say, we got nothing to fear from you at all. We have no fear because God's promise is to deliver us, even from you.
Dr. Carl Fikancher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikancher, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of August, we're going to start out talking about a Department of Justice letter to public schools about transgender students. The conclusion of that letter is that transgenderism should not be considered in any way a medical condition. It's what? Just someone's personal, perhaps even daily choice. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute says about that. Then, our weekly update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. That's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. straight ahead.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.